All right, so today we're going to be diving into something pretty heavy.
Okay.
We're talking about whether corporations can actually undermine democracy. Sounds intense, right?
Yeah, it really is a question that I think is at the heart of how power operates in the 21st century.
For sure. And the reason we're even asking this is because you sent over this article from WebPro News about a new report. And this report does not pull any punches.
Right.
It directly calls out some of the biggest companies on the planet, Amazon, ExxonMobil, Meta, the list goes on.
Yeah, and it's not just the companies themselves, it's the tactics that they're accused of using. You know, we're talking about wielding influence in a way that most people don't even realize.
Right. And this isn't some random blog post. This report is from the International Trade Union Confederation, the ITUC, which, for those who don't know, is a pretty major player on the global stage.
Absolutely. They're the world's largest trade union federation, representing millions of workers across the globe. So when they speak out about corporate power, it's worth paying attention.
So they're not just concerned with like wages or working conditions, they're looking at the whole system.
Exactly. Their argument here is that these corporations have grown so massive, so influential, that they can actually warp the rules of democracy itself to protect their profits.
Okay, so that's the headline, but what's the evidence? How are they actually supposedly undermining democracy?
Well, the report digs into some pretty specific examples. One of the key things they point to is lobbying. And we're not just talking about like a few well-placed donations here. We're talking about massive coordinated campaigns to influence legislation, often writing the laws themselves and using, you know, their deep pockets to push them through.
So they're basically cutting out the middleman, the by the people, for the people part of government, and just writing their own rules.
That's the gist of it. And it's not just lobbying. They're also accused of manipulating media narratives, funding research that supports their agenda, even engaging in practices that damage the environment and exploit workers, all while presenting themselves as forces for good.
It's like a PR machine working overtime to obscure the reality of what's going on.
Exactly. And that's why the ITC argues that it all adds up to a systematic attack on the core tenets of democracy, transparency, accountability, a level playing field. These corporations have become so adept at pulling the strings from behind the scenes that the average person might not even realize the extent of their influence.
Okay, so we've got this broad claim about corporations undermining democracy. But the real meat of this report seems to be the specific examples how these tactics are being used by actual companies.
Exactly. And that's where things start to get really interesting because the report names seven companies in particular are singled out: Amazon, Blackstone, ExxonMobil, Glencore, Meta, Tesla, and Vanguard.
That's quite a lineup. And it's a mix of companies that, on the surface, seem very different. What ties them all together?
What ties them all together is the sheer scale of their power and influence, and the ITUC's argument that they're using that power in ways that undermine democratic values.
Well, let's start unpacking some of these specific cases. And I think a good place to begin is with a company that most of us probably interact with on a daily basis. Amazon, I mean, who hasn't gotten that little thrill of instant gratification when an Amazon package arrives at your door?
It's become almost ubiquitous in modern life, hasn't it? But behind the convenience, the ITUC argues, lies a more troubling story.
So what are they saying about Amazon? What's the ITUC's beef with them specifically?
One of their main criticisms centers around Amazon's treatment of its workers. The report cites numerous allegations of unsafe working conditions in their warehouses, intense pressure to meet unrealistic productivity quotas, and a pattern of aggressively fighting unionization efforts.
Which is interesting because Amazon positions itself as a pretty innovative, forward-thinking company. You'd think they'd be at the forefront of good labor practices, not fighting against them.
You'd think so, right? But the ITC paints a different picture. They highlight a case in Europe where Amazon was actually sanctioned for refusing to attend hearings about worker rights violations. They essentially refused to engage with the process.
Wow, that's pretty bold.
Yeah.
So it's one thing to say hire lawyers to fight a union drive, but it's another thing entirely to just ignore official hearings on worker rights. It makes you wonder what they're trying to hide.
And that's exactly the point the ITUC is trying to make, that Amazon's immense power allows them to operate with a level of impunity that most companies simply don't have.
Okay, so that's Amazon. What about Blackstone Group? I'll be honest, I hadn't heard of them before this report. What do they do?
Blackstone is a private equity firm, which basically means they invest huge sums of money in other companies. And they've got their fingers in a lot of pies, real estate infrastructure, energy, you name it. But the ITUC calls them out specifically for their role in the housing crisis.
Interesting. I've read articles about how private equity firms are buying up tons of homes, but I'm not exactly sure how that works.
Well, it's complicated, but essentially they buy up huge portfolios of homes and rental properties, often using borrowed money. And because they're primarily beholden to their investors, their main focus is maximizing profits, often at the expense of tenants.
So they're more likely to raise rents, skimp on maintenance, or even evict tenants to boost their bottom line.
That's the gist of it. And the ITUC highlights Blackstone's behavior during the 2008 housing crisis and the COVID-19 pandemic as particularly egregious examples. They were accused of aggressively pursuing evictions even when moratoriums were in place.
It sounds like they were taking advantage of people at their most vulnerable.
That's the criticism. Mm. And it speaks to the ITUC's broader point that when companies prioritize profit over people, it erodes trust in the system and undermines the very idea of a just and equitable society.
Okay, let's move on to a company that's been in the news a lot lately, and not for good reasons, ExxonMobil. I feel like every other week there's a new article about how they knew about climate change decades ago, but covered it up.
It's a story that's been unfolding for years, and the ITUC report shines a harsh light on their tactics. ExxonMobil, they argue, engaged in a deliberate and systematic campaign of disinformation to downplay the risks of climate change, even though their own internal research showed how serious the problem was.
It's almost unfathomable, isn't it, that a company would knowingly prioritize its own profits over the future of the planet?
And it's not just about the environmental damage, it's about the erosion of trust.
Yeah.
The ITUC points out that by funding climate denial research lobbying against climate action and sowing doubt in the public mind, ExxonMobil effectively delayed action on one of the most pressing issues of our time, and that they argue is a textbook example of how corporate power can undermine democratic processes and the public good.
It's like instead of being part of the solution, they actively obstructed progress for decades. It's infuriating.
And the consequences are being felt today. We're seeing more extreme weather events, rising sea levels, and mass displacement as a result of climate change. And the longer action is delayed, the more severe the impacts will be.
Okay, so we've got Amazon accused of mistreating workers, Blackstone profiting off the housing crisis, and ExxonMobil covering up climate change. What other examples does the report dive into?
Well, another company they call out is Glencore, a multinational commodity trading and mining company.
I have to admit, I don't know much about them. What's their story?
Glencore is a major player in the global trade of raw materials, metals, minerals, oil, you name it. They operate mines and extraction facilities all over the world. But the ITUC accuses them of a pattern of unethical and often illegal activities in their pursuit of profit.
Okay, like what? Give me the specifics.
The report details allegations of bribery, corruption, environmental destruction, and human rights abuses connected to Glencore's operations in various countries. They've been accused of polluting water sources, displacing communities, and even engaging in child labor.
That's awful. It's hard to believe that a company could get away with that kind of behavior in this day and age.
And that's one of the key points the ITUC is trying to highlight. The power of these multinational corporations often transcends national borders and regulatory systems. They can exert enormous influence, even in countries with weak governance.
It's like they're operating in a different reality where the rules don't apply. And this whole time, I bet most people have never even heard of Glencore. It's like they're operating in the shadows.
And that's part of the problem. Without transparency and accountability, it's difficult to hold these companies responsible for their actions.
Okay, so Glencore is definitely one to watch. What about the next company on the list?
Well, this one hits close to home for a lot of people, I imagine. The ITUC takes aim at Meta, the parent company of Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp.
Yes, the social media giant. I can't imagine they're accused of anything good. What's the ITUC's take on them?
They argue that Meta, through its vast reach and influence, plays a significant role in undermining democracy by facilitating the spread of misinformation, hate speech, and political polarization.
Okay, but don't they always say they're just a platform, that they're not responsible for what users post?
That's been their defense for years. But the ITUC argues that Meta's algorithms, which determine what content users see, are designed to maximize engagement, which often means prioritizing the most sensational, divisive, and emotionally charged content.
Because outrage equals clicks, right?
Yeah.
And clicks equal ad revenue.
Okay.
It's cynical, but it makes sense.
Exactly. And the ITUC points to numerous examples of how Meta's platforms have been used to spread harmful content, incite violence, and manipulate elections around the world. They argue that Meta has a responsibility to do more to combat these issues, even if it means sacrificing some profits.
It's like they've created this monster they can't control.
Yeah.
Or maybe they don't want to control.
It's a complex issue and there's no easy solution. But the ITUC's point is that we can't ignore the real-world consequences of these platforms and the algorithms that drive them.
So we've covered Amazon, Blackstone, ExxonMobil, Glencore, and Meta, all companies that have been in the news for various controversies. What about the last two on the ITUC's list? They're a bit different, aren't they?
They are. The next one is Tesla. They're often portrayed as a forward-thinking, innovative company leading the charge towards a sustainable future with their electric vehicles.
Right. And Elon Musk has this whole disruptor image. He's like the rebellious CEO who doesn't play by the rules.
Exactly. But the ITUC paints a less flattering picture. They accuse Tesla of engaging in some of the same anti-union tactics as companies like Amazon. They point to allegations of worker intimidation, unsafe working conditions in their factories, and aggressive efforts to quash union drives.
That's surprising. You'd think a company with such a progressive image would be at the forefront of worker rights.
You would think so, wouldn't you? But the ITUC argues that there's a disconnect between Tesla's public image and the reality for many of their workers. They highlight a case where Tesla was ordered to pay millions in damages for firing a worker who was trying to organize a union.
Wow. So it's not just talk. There are real consequences. I guess you can't always believe the hype.
Exactly. And that brings us to the final company on the ITUC's list, the Vanguard Group.
Okay, so Tesla. Okay, electric cars are a big deal right now, but Vanguard, they're an investment firm, right? I don't see the connection to undermining democracy.
It's a bit more nuanced, but equally significant. Vanguard is one of the world's largest investment management companies. They manage trillions of dollars in assets for individuals and institutions.
Okay, that's a lot of money. But how does that translate into the kind of power we're talking about?
The ITUC argues that Vanguard's sheer size and influence give them an outsized role in the global economy. They own shares in thousands of companies across every sector imaginable. And because of their size, they can exert significant pressure on those companies to prioritize short-term profits over long-term sustainability, ethical considerations, or even democratic principles.
So it's like they're the silent partner with all the power.
In a way, yes.
Yeah.
And what makes this case particularly interesting is that even John Bogle, the founder of Vanguard, expressed concerns about the growing power of institutional investors like his own company.
He did. What did he say?
He worried that they were becoming too big, too influential, and that this concentration of power could be detrimental to the overall health of the market and, by extension, to democracy itself. He argued that when a handful of companies control so much wealth and influence, it distorts the balance of power and makes it difficult for individuals and communities to have a say in their own future.
Wow. So even the founder of Vanguard saw the potential dangers. That's pretty telling.
Wow.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. Amazon, Blackstone, ExxonMobil, Glencore, Meta, Tesla, and Vanguard. Seven very different companies, all accused of using their power in ways that undermine democratic values. It's a lot to process.
It is. And the ITUC argues that these seven companies are just the tip of the iceberg. They represent a larger trend of growing corporate power and influence that threatens to erode the very foundations of democratic societies.
So what does this all mean? Where do we go from here?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? But before we jump into the bigger picture implications, let's just take a second and reflect on what we've learned about these specific companies and the tactics they're accused of using.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I think a little recap is definitely in order. Plus, I'm curious to hear your take on all of this. What are your initial thoughts? What stands out to you the most?
Okay, so we've just gone through a whirlwind tour of corporate misdeeds, from worker exploitation to climate denial to straight up corruption. It's a lot to digest.
It really is. And while these cases might seem diverse on the surface, they all point to a larger trend that's been building for decades, the growing tension between corporate power and democratic values.
Right, because in a healthy democracy, power is supposed to be distributed with checks and balances to prevent any one group from having too much influence. Exactly. But what we're seeing now is that corporations have accumulated so much wealth and influence that they're able to circumvent those checks and balances, often in ways that most people aren't even aware of.
And you touched on this earlier, but it's not just about, say, donating money to political campaigns. It's about shaping the very rules of the game, writing legislation, influencing public opinion, even controlling the information people have access to.
Precisely. Think about ExxonMobil's decades-long campaign to discredit climate science. They understood that if they could sow enough doubt in the public mind, it would delay any meaningful action on climate change, which would benefit their bottom line in the short term.
It's a classic case of prioritizing immediate profits over long-term consequences, even if those consequences are potentially catastrophic.
And that's a recurring theme in a lot of these cases. Whether it's Amazon fighting tooth and nail against unionization efforts or Blackstone profiting off the housing crisis, there's this underlying disregard for the well-being of workers' communities and the environment.
It's like they're playing a different game with a different set of rules.
Yeah.
And if you're not on the inside, you don't even realize it's happening until it's too late.
And that's why transparency and accountability are so crucial in a democracy. If we don't know how decisions are being made, who's influencing those decisions, and who benefits from them, then we can't hold those in power accountable.
And it feels like that lack of transparency is becoming more and more prevalent. It's not just corporations either. It's governments and other powerful institutions as well. It creates this sense of cynicism and distrust, like the system is rigged against the average person.
Absolutely. And that erosion of trust is incredibly dangerous because it undermines the very foundation of a democratic society. When people feel like their voices don't matter, that the system is rigged, they're more likely to disengage from the political process, which only further concentrates power in the hands of the few.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
So given all of this, where do we go from here? What can be done to address this imbalance of power?
Well, there's no easy answer, no silver bullet solution. It's going to require a multifaceted approach. One important step is to strengthen regulations and enforcement mechanisms to prevent corporations from wielding undue influence over the political process. Things like campaign finance reform lobbying restrictions and stricter antitrust laws could help level the playing field.
Right. It's about making sure the rules are fair and that everyone is playing by them. But laws are only effective if they're enforced.
Exactly. And that requires a robust and independent media that can hold corporations and governments accountable for their actions. Investigative journalism is more important than ever in the age of disinformation and corporate spin.
It's about shining a light on those shadowy dealings, exposing the truth, and making sure people have access to accurate information.
Absolutely. But it's not just about top-down solutions. Individuals have a role to play as well.
What do you mean? What can the average person do in the face of such overwhelming power?
Well, for one, we can become more informed consumers. We can research the companies we support, pay attention to their labor practices and environmental records, and choose to spend our money in ways that align with our values.
So it's about voting with our wallets, supporting businesses that are trying to do the right thing, and holding the bad actors accountable through our consumer choices.
Exactly. And we can also use our voices to demand change. We can support organizations that are fighting for greater corporate accountability and transparency. We can contact our elected officials and let them know that we care about these issues. We can engage in public discourse and challenge corporate narratives that prioritize profit over people and the planet.
It's about recognizing that we're not powerless, that we have agency, and that our collective actions can make a difference.
Exactly. It's about reclaiming our democracy and ensuring that it serves the needs of the many, not just the interests of the few.
That's a powerful message to end on. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by the scale of these problems, but ultimately it's up to us to create a more just and equitable world. Thanks for diving into this complex topic with me. I think we've given our listeners a lot to think about.
It's been my pleasure. These are conversations we need to be having.
Well said. And for our listeners, if this deep dive has sparked your curiosity, we encourage you to do your own research, stay informed, and get involved. The future of our democracy may depend on it. Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep diving deeper.